Happy Father's Day. Are there dads in the house?
Yeah.
If you identify as a father, would you stand and let us bless you? We've got a unity blessing for you. You ready? Stay standing, please, if you can. Fathers, we love you, we bless you, we appreciate you, and we behold the divine light within you. Oh, fatherhood, huh? Something I know nothing about. But I am starting to observe some things. Brenly and I were at a coffee shop the other day, and there was this big muscular guy with a couple little kids, and he was there with another friend with a couple more kids. And our tables were so close together that we could, you know, hear the whole conversation. And not that we were eavesdropping or anything, but it was hard to miss. And the guy, you know, I think he was even kind of standing like this with his leg up, you know. It's just like, yeah, it was a guy. And they started talking about bedtime for their kids. And then it evolved to diapers and cute things their kids do. And Brenly and I were just smiling like, wow, has fatherhood evolved, huh? Yeah. And Katie Bricky came up to me after the first service. She has two little ones, and her husband is always here watching the kids while she comes to service. And she said, thank you so much for saying that. She said, because I have experienced that firsthand, even more so than like my dad. She said, and she goes, not only that, but she said, from the moment my husband was there, when the baby was born, she gave me permission to share all this. She said, I looked in his blue eyes, and it's like they shifted into an ocean. And he changed. And she said, and I have watched how he has become a different person. I love him equally, but as a father, and how he's grown and changed, and how he shows up completely engaged. I thought, man, there's hope for our future, isn't there? Because kids need that, right? We all need that. We all need the sacred masculine energy. We have it inside of us. But it sure helps when we feel it in this society, when we feel it around us, when we feel it in our families, because it's that uplifting energy. It's not like strong, like, you know, how the guy was standing, but it's like strength that cares for. That gives space to, and that takes necessary action. So the last couple weeks, you know, there's the fatherly blessings, they come in all kinds, and so we're going to talk a little bit about that today, connected back to the last couple weeks. We started out our Pride Month celebration with the story of Joseph donning his rainbow coat and teaching us really about being true to yourself, being authentic. There are a lot of lessons that we unpacked in Joseph's story over time. The futility of deception, the power of forgiveness, for example, and the imagination. Joseph was a dreamer, and he also interpreted and applied his dreams and others to life. And he also showed us how to expand our vision for the long game, to recognize that everything isn't just about now and my immediate descendants, but the many generations to come. And he talked about nourishing the children and the generations to come. So there was a lot in Joseph's story, and I realized there was another piece about Joseph's own father and Joseph's sons that was relevant for today's Father's Day, so we're going to continue a little bit of that story. Joseph had two sons, Manasseh and Ephraim. Now, Manasseh's name means to forget, and Joseph said, I name him this because God made me forget all of my toil and my father's house. Remember, he was enslaved in Egypt. And so it helps us then recognize that there are things in our past, perhaps, that it's time to let go of, time to forget. Maybe things from our childhood that's still creating a tape that holds you back. Anybody relate to that? Yeah, a lot of us do. And maybe it's time to let go, perhaps, for you, the old story, the old idea that holds you back from your good. When old memories weigh you down, you can call upon this ancestor, Manasa, and use an affirmation that works for him and us. I release what no longer serves me. Do you want to say that together? I release what no longer serves me. Amen. And then Ephraim, his other son, means fruitful. And so this idea of fruitfulness, he says, I named my second son Ephraim because God has caused me to be fruitful in the land of my affliction. How many of you have been fruitful in the land of your affliction, right? Even in the midst of the pain and the suffering and the difficulties that come our way, somehow a blessing arises. Somehow we realize we ourselves can be a blessing as we are also blessed. Years ago, Unity had a campaign during election time that said, look for the good. And it's kind of that idea, right? Look for the good. And as we reflect back, we realize, oh yeah, good did come. And blessings came forth, even in the midst, even when I was in the land of my affliction. So if Ephraim is about this fruitfulness, and fruitfulness is about co-creation, it's about positive action. There's a lot of things that can be unpacked in fruitfulness alone. It's the idea of prosperity, essentially. So all the ways that we can have a positive impact, that we can have a sense of our own purpose, that we can know that we are a blessing to others, all of this comes forth out of the name Ephraim. So Ephraim, I would say his affirmation for all of us is, I am prospered in all ways, even in the midst of affliction. Do you want to say that together? I am prospered in all ways, even in the midst of affliction. Oh, that's one, a good one to keep on saying, isn't it? Because there's some affliction in the house, so to speak, isn't there? Jacob was Joseph's father. And Jacob, you might remember, wrestled with the angel and got a new name. And his new name was Israel. When Joseph was a little boy, and he was always his favorite son, Jacob said to him, Joseph is a fruitful vine by a spring whose branches scale the wall. Isn't that beautiful? Very poetic. So at the end of Israel's life, Joseph gets a chance to go and say goodbye to him. Remember, everybody, the family's been reconciled and brought over to Egypt from Israel, and he gets to go see his father at some point. They get brought home. And he brings his two sons, Manasseh and Ephraim. But Jacob immediately wants to bless Joseph's sons. And so the tradition then would be, typically the father would bless his own sons, but in this case, Israel's asking for something a little bit unusual to begin with. But of course, Joseph's happy to have his father bless his sons. And so he does what the tradition is. He brings Manasseh under Israel's right hand, because you bless the oldest son with the bigger birthright, with the bigger blessing, because he has first rights. He's the firstborn. And Joseph then guides Ephraim. Israel, by the way, his eyesight was failing, so he's helping along the way. He brings Ephraim under his left hand. And Israel does something interesting. He crisscrosses his hands. And Joseph comes over thinking his father's can't see or he's confused, and he kind of grabs his hands and he starts to pull them apart, and he says, no, father, this way. And Israel says, no, no, I know, my son, I know. And he puts his hands back like that. What is he doing? Why is he doing that? See, Israel couldn't see very well with his physical eyes, but he was seeing something with his spiritual eyes. You ever do this? Have you ever seen past the situation, past the affliction, past the circumstance with the spiritual eyes that can see the truth? And so Israel was seeing something. And he said, Manasseh will be great. He'll do really wonderful things. But his younger brother, Ephraim, he's going to do greater things. And so I'm giving him the great blessing. So taken together, these two blessings mean something together. They're like an affirmative prayer, right? One is the release of the past, the release of the things that hold us back. The other is the affirmation, the truth, the greater blessing. Ephraim is the greater blessing because he is the affirmation of the truth. That which we want, the vision which we are going toward, what we are upholding, what we are becoming. It's important to release, but it's more important to stand in the truth. So this is, in a way, what Israel is showing for us, this idea of being fruitful. And a lot of times when we look at fruitful, it's interpreted in a very literal way, right? Be fruitful and multiply. So we think, oh, I'm supposed to have a bunch of kids. So my Uncle Bob was a Lutheran minister, and I talked to my Aunt Shirley recently, who's still living. I think she's about 96 now. And they had 8 children. And I was learning about the family. This was that family history project. And I said, so what motivated you and Bob to have 8 children? And she said, well, you know, we were in the church and it said, be fruitful and multiply. Now that's a literal interpretation, isn't it? But then she went on to say something else. She said, well, and besides, I love babies and Bob was a really good father. Now that's fruitful. Right? That's the deeper meaning. That's the heart in it. That's the soul's desire in it. That touches on this idea of fruitfulness in which I have something to give. I have something to bless somebody with. I have a sense of purpose here. That's fruitfulness, not just a bunch of numbers, right? So the prophet Micah talks about this idea of how to be fruitful, essentially. And he says it this way. He has told you, O man, what is good, and what does the Lord require of you but to do justice, to love kindness, and to walk humbly with your God. He pretty much gives us the manual to fruitfulness right there. To do justice, love kindness, walk humbly with your God. Being just, what is that but listening and caring, right? Being just is checking our own prejudices. Being just is standing up for, speaking up for those who don't have the same opportunities that you have. Being fair, acting as an ally. The Buddhists would say, right speech, right action. When we allow spirit to guide us, we do justice naturally, because divine justice and divine order unfold. So this idea of loving kindness, and he says specifically love kindness, which is really interesting, isn't it? But as we think about, if I love kindness, what does that look like? The more I love kindness, actually, the more I practice kindness, the more I emulate kindness, the more I embody kindness, the more I love it, right? Isn't it true for all of us? It's like the more we sit in meditation and experience maybe peace, the more we love it. And the more we want more of it, and the more we practice more of it. So to love kindness is really to be kindness, to become the example of kindness, to be the giver of kindness, to be the open to the being the recipient of kindness. And pretty soon, kindness becomes the norm. Kindness becomes the thing. You people say, well, when I meet so-and-so, whoever that is, I'm going to pick on Susan, I see kindness. I experience kindness. I describe Susan as kind. And then that becomes aspirational. It's like, I want to be more like Susan. I want to be more kind. And so there's this sense of it becomes the thing that we are about. And then it becomes the thing that our relationships are about. And then we're attracted to kindness. And then it just keeps the multiplying blessings keep happening, right? This is that idea of fruitfulness. And so we give it, we become it, we decide to embody it, we are the recipient of it. In your family, in your world, is there all the kindness you could ever wish for? Or are we falling a little short? Are you as kind as you could be? Because that's where it all begins, right? Peace begins with me, we've often sung. Kindness begins with us. And so if we want the norm in our society to be kindness, if we want the norm in our family and our community to be kindness, we need to love it. And to love it is to be it. And to be it is to love it. It works both directions, doesn't it? So the final edict then from Micah of this idea of what do we do to be fruitful, what does it look like to be fruitful, is to walk humbly with your God. Which brings us back to Israel's blessing, because when he blesses Joseph's sons, he talks about walking with God. He uses that phrase. Let's take a look at what the blessing is. May the God before whom my fathers, Abraham and Isaac, walked, the God who has been my shepherd all of my life to this day, the angel who has redeemed me from all harm, may he bless these boys, and may they be called by my name. So, Dan Schneider is a father and a blogger, and he says that he's hearkening back to the grandfathers of Abraham and Isaac, but he's saying before that, who walked before that. So he's going all the way back in the ancestral line and beyond the ancestral line, because the belief was like the beginning of humanity, right? The genesis of humanity is this idea, this story. Not that it's the only one, but it's a story about the genesis of humanity. And so he's saying, walking all the way back to like Enoch, who walked with God, and Enoch fathered Methuselah, who lived like 300 plus years, and then there was Noah before the flood, and after the flood he walked with God, and then before that there was Adam, Adam's children, who walked with God. You see, it's like all the way, Israel's going, I'm bringing all of that energy to this blessing. He sees with spiritual eyes, he sees something, but he's also like bringing something really significant in his blessing. You know, we can do our blessings like, you know, we can do it either way, right? Like a rote sort of, we love you, we bless you, I know these words, right? And we're thinking about lunch, right? Or the person in front of us whose head is blocking our way, or whatever it is that we're thinking about, you know, we're saying the words, but we're not feeling. And we can do it sometimes where we're just like, really present. And it's like, wow, this is powerful. I often imagine, like, if we were all little children receiving that, like really receiving it open-heartedly, and everybody was giving it really open-heartedly present, and I think that's kind of like the blessing that Israel's giving. He knows it's the end of his life, and he knows he's doing something much bigger than blessing two young boys. So he's taking all that energy from the way back and saying, from the beginning of time, we have walked humbly with God, and going forward, there will be a propelling into the future of walking humbly with God. And there's this like this great significance that he's bringing. And here's the thing, when he ends that part of the blessing, he says, and may they be called by my name. What's his name? Israel. He's not blessing individuals. He's blessing the 12 tribes of Israel. He's blessing all these tribes that will become a nation. He's blessing a nation. And really, by virtue of blessing that nation, he's blessing the world to come. So he knows what he's up to. This is no small matter. No, son. I know, son. I know what I'm doing. You see? This is ordained. This is coming through me. This has nothing to do with me, and it has everything to do with me. That's what it's like when we're in that kind of flow, when we're connected to the divine. It's like, I'm not here at all. I'm nothing. I'm the channel, and I'm everything. I'm all a part of it. Every cell of my body, every hair on my head is flittering with the energy of spirit, right? So there's this sense that the blessing is coming forward because the blessing means something, and it means something to us today, through all these generations of patriarchs and matriarchs. And what today, when we think of the nation of Israel, like yesterday, the two nations most in the news were Israel and America, and certainly a lot in the news lately, Israel and America, right? two aspiring democracies being tested and challenged with enormous consequences for the world right now. This is no small potatoes what's happening right now. It's big. It's big, and we're a part of it, and we're present to it, and present to the Spirit, and present to what we are supposed to do. What is the blessing? How do we bless forward with our talents and our actions and our words? What is ours to do now? Every one of us has a call. And what would our founding fathers say now of America and Israel? What would they say now? The patriarchs and the prophets of the Bible, the forefathers, the framers of the U.S. Constitution, what would they say now? I think I can hear it. It's the prophecy from old. Do justice, love kindness, walk humbly with your God. Just and kind and humble walk of our forefathers of America. They imagined that. They imagined what they would become, what a nation would become if we did these things. They imagined what it would be like if everyone were equal, if everyone were valued equally, were given equal rights. They imagined what it'd be like to govern by the people, for the people. They imagined what it'd be like if there was liberty and justice for all. That is some powerful imagination, powerful use of the imagination. And you know, many of these American founding fathers were Freemasons. Do you know about Freemasonry? George Washington, Benjamin Franklin were Freemasons. Paul Revere was a Freemason. John Hancock was a Freemason. A lot of these men were Freemasons. And this was a fraternal organization for men that emphasized ethical behavior. Ethical behavior, simple ask, personal development, and brotherhood. They valued integrity, friendship, respect, and service, and they required their members to believe in a supreme being, but they had a lot of openness to diverse expressions of religion in whatever ways felt right for each man. Freemasons are expected to behave honorably and take personal responsibility for their actions. Now, none of these men were perfect by any stretch. Most of them were slave owners, like fathers who say, do as I say, but not as I do, right? Yet their imagination, we need to take hold of that because that's part of our lineage, is the imagination, the vision, the possibility, what we were founded on, what could be that blessing from old, from Israel, from that end of the continuum of life is all there for us to stand upon. And so, where can we go from here? You know, has America and Israel forgotten? Have we gotten so far along on the blessing of Manasseh that we've just forgotten who we are? Have we forgotten completely what these ideals are all about? Have we lost the idea of kindness and given over to cruelty? This is not who we are. And so it's time for Ephraim's blessing. A fruitfulness for all of us to be a part of that, to bring it forth. You join me in this prayer, in this knowing that we are blessed from the divine essence of the being within us and the allness of God, whatever that God name is for you, Spirit, Universe, Creator, Supreme Being, it does not matter. But that energy, that love, that it bless us in releasing the collective pain of past afflictions and mistakes. Let's just shake that off and bless us in a future of multiplied good. Let us remember who we are. Let us remember day after day and remind each other of who we are. Let's be those that bring forth the ideals of justice by how we act and how we behave with each other. Bless us. Open our hearts with loving kindness. We affirm it is so. that as we walk humbly with our gods, that we bring forth that which we have come here to bring. That is a continuum of the blessing from old. On this Father's Day, let's embrace the sacred masculine in all of us. The ideals of these fraternal organizations like Freemasons or others, the ideals of these countries and this idea of the blessing that it stands for. A lot of times people say, oh, politics and religion, they don't mix. But you know what politics means? It means people. And we're not talking about politics here because we have now decided that politics means divisiveness, but that isn't true. It's just a temporary facade, illusion that we're creating, that we're sort of mucking our way through, right? Like that lotus in the mud. We're trying to like grow up through the mud. But it is a great awakening that is happening. And so if we allow ourselves to open and to awaken and to look with spiritual eyes past that which concerns us and that which breaks our heart, at the same time that we look at it and we see it, and we, you know, as Edwin Gaines, the prosperity teacher in Unity, used to say, she'd say, look around the world and find something that breaks your heart and do something about it. Give all of your energy to it, all the while knowing there's no problem at all. This is our challenge as divine human beings, right? To walk through this world and go, I know the absolute truth, and everything is perfect and whole and well and good and beautiful and connected and all that yumminess that we know is true. And to hold that truth, to see that truth, that absolute truth, to not lose sight of that absolute truth, because that's what keeps us humble on our walk. Because we keep going, oh my God, you put me here at this time. I am humbled by that opportunity. I am humbled by the chance to bless the generations to come. I am humbled to be the one who met the circumstances of these times with integrity, with loving kindness, with justice, with all the things I know to be true. And at the same time, I also see a relative existence, a relative reality that is happening that I know is temporary, but it also can move and shift and be forgotten much quicker if I bring forth the blessing that I am, the truth of who I am. So I know we can be here together and find comfort in community and connection in community as we strengthen each other, like a good father would for his children. We do this for all of humanity, for all of those that we share this land with, this walk with, this family with, this relationship with, and within ourselves. I'm just checking to see if there's anything more to be said. I don't think so. Yeah, maybe somebody in the audience wants to say something. I kind of feel like there's some kind of... Amen. 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 Yes. All right, well, let's affirm it together then as we walk this journey. I do justice, love kindness, and walk humbly with my God, and so it is. Amen.